And he looked at me with one eye and he kind of said, are you for it or against it? Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. All right. Well, I'm against it. I've been doing a series of messages on our country and what the world is going through. Some of you have said, it's so depressing. It is. We're in the battle of the century, maybe the millennium. We're in a battle. And some of us, if we're just going about our business, we're not really paying attention to what's going on. But drive to Minnesota, drive to a blue state and see how you feel. Just listening to the radio. I'll mention that a little later. What is the Great Reset, first of all? There was a book written by Klaus Schwab, COVID-19, the Great Reset. This isn't about a disease. This is about the world being transformed. Perhaps into Revelation, but that's another topic. Let me quote from this book. Since it made its entry in the world, COVID-19 has dramatically torn up the existing script of how to govern countries, live with others, and take part in the global economy. Written by World Economic Forum founder Klaus Schwab, and Monthly Barometer founder, Thierry Malleret. COVID-19, the Great Reset, considers its far-reaching and dramatic implications on tomorrow's world. It is a guide for anyone who wants to better understand how the novel coronavirus could cause so much disruption and suffering, and what changes are needed to create a more inclusive, resilient, and sustainable world. The book provides a worrying yet hopeful analysis. COVID-19, as the greatest public health crisis of the century, has led to enormous economic devastation and made existing inequities worse. But the power of human beings lies in their foresight, ingenuity, and, at least to a certain extent, to take their destiny into their own hands and plan for a better future. This book shows us where to start. The worldwide crisis triggered by the coronavirus pandemic is without modern parallel. We cannot be accused of hyperbole when we say it's plunging our world in its entirety and each of us individually into the most challenging times we've faced in generations. We will be dealing with its fallout for years, and many things will change forever. It is bringing economic disruption of monumental proportions. Just in the little town that's nearby my cottage in Minnesota, businesses that have been there the 50 years I've been going there are closed. Families have moved. It's disrupting life. Well, this book, the foreword to the book says, it is bringing economic disruption of monumental proportions, creating a dangerous and volatile period, volatile on multiple fronts, politically, socially, geopolitically, raising deep concerns about the environment and also extending the reach, pernicious or otherwise, of technology into our lives. No industry or business will be spared from the impact of these changes. Millions of companies risk disappearing, and many industries face an uncertain future. A few will thrive. On an individual basis, for many, life as they've always known it is unraveling at alarming speed. But deep existential crises also favor introspection and can harbor the potential for transformation. The fault lines of the world, most notably social divides, lack of fairness, absence of cooperation, failure of global governance and leadership, now lie exposed as never before, and the time for reinvention will soon be upon us. A new world will emerge. Are you paying attention? Revelation is coming to pass right before our eyes. A new world will emerge, the contours of which are for us both to imagine and to draw. What's so great about the Great Reset? Officially, the World Economic Forum describes the Great Reset as a commitment to jointly and urgently build the foundations of our economic and social system for a more fair, sustainable, and resilient future. More fair to us? No, we're white evangelical Christians. No, it's not for us. It's for everybody else. I was listening to NPR accidentally as I was thumbing through, changing the channels on the radio. NPR in Minnesota. And there I have to listen to somebody telling me that all whites are on one side of a great cavern like the Grand Canyon. And all blacks and everybody else are on the other side. And the whites have everything and the blacks have nothing, and it's an inequity. And we need to readjust it. Take everything from the one group, or some of it, most of it, and spread it around. Well, I'll say more in a few minutes, maybe, about that. On the surface, this seems like a commendable attempt to give direction and focus to the world in a time of chaos, such as the vision articulated by Klaus Schwab, founder and executive chairman of the WEF, which held its 2021 summit on the theme of the Great Reset. Did you hear about this event? Some of you have, you've mentioned it. Most of us probably haven't. The media is not aware of any of this or ignoring it, but they actually war gamed this pandemic scenario in 2019, just weeks before it actually happened. It's all set up. It was coming and they knew it. Johns Hopkins University is one of the major players in this. Johns Hopkins is where one of my sons got a master's degree in biomedical technology. Great university, but that's where this economic forum was held. The World Economic Forum, the ones behind the Great Reset, and Bill and Melinda Gates put together these war games where they simulated an outbreak of a novel man-made coronavirus transmitted from bats to people, supposedly, leading to a severe pandemic. Who would have seen this coming? A war game in October of 2019, and 1 month later, we had our first case of COVID-19 that became public in China and spread throughout the world. Klaus Schwab says, "The world must act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies and economies, from education to social contracts and working conditions. Every country, from the United States to China, must participate, and every industry, from oil and gas to tech, must be transformed." How you doing at the gas pump? How does this affect us right now? I can't cover this whole subject, but I can talk about coronavirus today, because some of you are asking, should I take the shots, should I take the boosters or not? From my perspective, not. And let me explain that. Typical development time for vaccines against a virus. A vaccine takes a minimum of 10 years to develop, with 5 years for testing to make sure it actually works and is safe. 93% of vaccines fail. COVID-19 timeframe and technology. 8 to 9 months of developing this from March or April to December of 2020 using never before approved mRNA technology. Moderna, one of the companies making one of these vaccines, a 10-year-old company that never had FDA approval for any drug that they ever manufactured. BioNTech is a German company, an 8-year-old company that never had FDA approval for any drug. Should you be worried? Yeah, we should all be worried. What has happened to people who have taken the vaccines? All you have to do is look at the CDC website to find out. Don't trust me. Don't. Well, do as a pastor. But on this subject, look it up yourself. Check out the CDC's VAERS data. VAERS, Voluntary Adverse Event Reporting System. In other words, you got the vaccine and you got sick or you died. Ooh, interesting. Here it is. I got it. You want it? Text me, email me. I'll send you the link. It's right here. Look up the data for yourself. I'm going to give it to you. Some of the statistics that they've collected on their website about this coronavirus vaccine. Now, you can't read the fine print there. Let me read it to you. VAERS data. VAERS data is accessible by downloading raw data in common separated value files for import into a database, spreadsheet, or text editing program, or by using the CDC Wonder online search tool. How do you feel about that? Do you understand anything? Well, Robert probably does. Benjamin may. Chris absolutely doesn't. Oh, I'm speculating. But anyway, I'm just talking about the three guys that work together at Alert Academy. It goes on. Information provided to VAERS, which identifies a person who received the vaccine or vaccines, will not be made available to the public. Is that reassuring? We know who you are, you're reporting it. We just promise to not tell everybody else who you are. Well, maybe that's comforting to some of us. De-identified VAERS data are available 4 to 6 weeks after the report is received. Well, the information I'm giving you is about a year old. VAERS data change as new reports are received. People are giving that information. So your results may change if you report the same search at a later date. That makes sense. Liberty Counsel attorney Matt Stavers is reporting this. He estimates that only 1% of actual events are reported through the VAERS system. In other words, the list I'm about to give you, multiply it by 100. Are you with me? VAERS log from COVID-19 shots. Total adverse reactions that are reported, 1%. 1,071,854. Deaths, 22,000 that have been reported. 1%, 22,607. Hospitalizations, 121,000. Office visits, 166,000. Urgent care, 115,000. Severe allergic reactions from the vaccine, 38,000. Heart attacks, 11,000. Bell's palsy, where your face muscles just collapse and are unusable, 13,000. Miscarriages, 3,786. The full VAERS report includes more than 100 other drastic increases in previously rare conditions, experienced by military members since these vaccination shots began and were mandated. How many of you took the swine flu vaccine? Am I the only one? Thank you. Two of you did. Three. I got in line at North Park Mall in Dallas in 1976. Some of you may have been there with me and with Hope, who was pregnant. They had us scared to death. You got to take the swine flu vaccine. We took it. Well, it was halted almost immediately because 33 people died from it. Until I read this report, I never put two and two together to realize I got sick in 1976. I had to be not hospitalized, but go to the doctor repeatedly because I had inflammation around my heart. Could have killed me. I never really connected it to that flu shot, but I do now. Military personnel suffering from neurological disorders jumped from a five-year average of 82,000 to 866,000, according to Matt Staver. Here's a list, partial list. 1,000% increase in codes for neurological issues. 471% increase in codes for female infertility. 467% pulmonary embolisms, blockages, blood clots. Anybody watch PGA golf this weekend? The women's golf, anybody watching that? Nelly Korda, the highest ranked in so far in the weekend tournament. She was out the entire last year because of a blood clot after she took the vaccine. Interesting. Yesterday she got up to number four. She's now at number 10, I think, on the list. And she has another day of competition. Maybe she'll do better, but a year of her life gone because she took a vaccine. 300% increase in cancer diagnosis. 300% increase in miscarriages. Almost a 300% increase in Bell's palsy and myocardial infarction. That is heart inflammation, like I got from the swine flu, I'm sure. Or heart attacks. Pro athletes are dying around the world because they've taken these vaccines. They finally took the information down from Wikipedia because the list was too long. They took it down. 156% heart attack. Oh, but we're digressing. What about the Great Reset? The virus is all about the Great Reset. MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, in 2008, wrote, "This new social order will seem unthinkable to most people in so-called free countries, but any change can quickly become normal if people accept it." Did you wear a mask when you were driving to church this morning? I guarantee, driving to Minnesota, there were people driving on the freeway with masks on, alone in their cars. Drugstore in the town that I was nearby, I walked in the drugstore and right on the door, wear a mask. Have you got your vaccine yet? Billboards all over the place. Have you got your vaccine yet? No. Thank you. The MIT Technological Review. Any change can quickly become normal if people accept it. The new normal will be that we're used to the idea that in some cases being able to move about freely is dependent on us being able to show that we're healthy. And how do we know that you're healthy? Because we know that you took the vaccine that doesn't work and actually makes you sick. Oh, I could give you so much more information. Israel did a study. They have given their population, everyone, four different shots, three boosters and the original shot. And there is a study that I'm not going to get into today, but it shows if you take the vaccine, you're 89% likely to get sick. You're going, even if you have no symptoms and you take the vaccine, you're going to get the virus. It doesn't work the way a normal shot works. There will be a greater acceptance, I think, of that kind of public health monitoring. Just try to go to Canada or come back from Canada. You gotta have a vaccine. You gotta prove it. The world's changing, that's all I'm saying. What about the emergency use authorizations, the EUAs, exemptions? These emergency use authorizations, the authority allows the FDA to help strengthen the nation's public health protections against chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear threats, including infectious diseases, by facilitating the availability and use of medical countermeasures needed during public health emergencies. So they needed to create a public emergency, a medical emergency, so that they could demand that we take the shots. The problem is that law in our country forbids coercion to take any kind of a shot. They can't do it. Title VII requires accommodation of religious beliefs. We've had several here ask me for a letter that would explain to their employers how they feel about the vaccine and why they don't want to take it. For some of you, that has been successful. For some, it wasn't. But laws, national laws, state laws, prohibit them from coercion. State laws provide for medical exemptions, and 45 states also provide religious exemptions. Texas has both. California, Maine, Mississippi, New York, and West Virginia do not have religious exemptions. Everybody else does. Arizona, Colorado, Louisiana, Michigan, Minnesota, North Dakota, New Mexico, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Texas, Utah and Washington and Wisconsin have religious and philosophical exemptions to taking a shot. We don't have to take it. By law, we can exempt ourselves from it. If we want to see righteousness in America, if we want to see a biblical worldview promoted, we have to believe that the Bible is the holy, inerrant, plenary, I mean every word of it is inspired by God. We have to believe that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, plus nothing we can do to save ourselves. And third, we have to believe that if we don't repent and change directions as a country, and it starts with us individually, we are in big trouble. The reset is coming. It's happening. A strong America doesn't fit into the plans of the globalists to integrate us all in it, to be ruled by the beautiful people from Davos, Switzerland. We can trust them, right? Les Schwab. Not Les Schwab, the Schwab that wrote the book. No, I don't think we can trust him. Trump was a fly in the ointment. Trump had to be gotten rid of. They had a plan to do so, and it worked. That should scare us to death. Will we ever have a free election again? I don't know. There are three tools that the Great Reset is using very effectively. Three of them. Critical race theory. Simply put, critical race theory states that the U.S. social institutions, the criminal justice system, the educational system, the labor market, housing market, and healthcare system are laced with white racism embedded in laws, regulations, rules, and procedures that lead to differential outcomes by race. NPR, Minnesota Public Radio, they're espousing it 24/7. Oh, the poor blacks, the poor minorities, the poor people that have been on welfare for our whole lives. Oh, they need us to give them reparations, to make them millionaires so they have all the stuff we worked for. Be careful. If your kids are in public school, be very careful of what they're being taught. Climate change. The idea that the climate is changing and we've got to unify with global taxes. They got to take our money. That's what this is all about. And global governments to save the world. Most people haven't bought into that, and yet we have. We're paying the price at the gas pumps. They've got a plan for it. They're taking the stuff, redistributing it. But the COVID-19 pandemic, this is what really has changed the playing field. There is a legitimate virus, okay? Some of you got it. Maybe I did, I don't know. Natural immunity, where your system just builds up a resistance to it and defeats it. That's the best way. The vaccines really didn't protect anyone from it and maybe made some people sicker. But if we had treated this properly as a virus, with the ability we have to treat a virus, this would have been a normal year like any other year. Just be careful. I'm not telling you, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you to think about it. Go to the VAERS site and see what's going on. From the CDC itself, the information is right there. Just realize you got to multiply it by 100, probably, to get an accurate picture. In closing, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name, Christians, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Did you see the report this past week? One of you sent that to me on the worldview of the average pastor in America. Only 13% of pastors in America believe in the Word of God as the inspired, inerrant Word of God. 13%. I'm one of those, by the way. But then they looked at youth pastors. The youth pastors dropped from 13 down to less than 5%. Most youth pastors have no regard for the Word of God at all. They're not teaching the Word of God to the children. We wonder what's happening to our children. We're wondering what's happening to our world. God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves before Him and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. It can still be healed. We know from the book of Revelation, it will come. Ultimately, this system that's being put into place is going to happen, but it doesn't have to happen in our lifetime. If we'll humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, He can still allow some grace period maybe perhaps for as long as we live. Some of us are praying for the rapture to occur. Just take us out of here. Well, I wouldn't mind that, but somehow I think we're right in the middle of it right now and we're living in it. We need to pray. We need to pray earnestly and seriously. Humble ourselves before God and don't be swayed by the world. Let's be walking with Him, honoring Him, careful about what we're doing. And let's do some research personally. Can we trust our doctors? I'm going to the doctor tomorrow for my regular physical. I don't know. I think I wish I could say yes, but every time I go in there, they said, you got to take the vaccine. And I say, oh, no, I don't. And they say, oh, okay. Do y'all remember Obamacare? Who is running the medical system in America? It's the government now. There is no Hippocratic Oath anymore. Times have changed. Be careful. Be wise. Humble yourself before God and let's worship Him, honor Him, walk with Him, and trust Him with our very lives and our futures. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you have not forsaken us. We can trust you with our very lives. We trust you with our future, yes, but with our very lives now. We need help with our health. We need wisdom to know what to trust our doctors for and what to say no to. Father, we need your help. We need your intervention. We thank you for your goodness and grace in every family here this morning, every extended family. Father, we ask that you would help, that you would give us wisdom and grace, that you would do exceeding abundantly beyond all we could ask or even think, powerfully, wonderfully, miraculously, because of the power that works within us. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just say that if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, it is critical that you do so. Come and talk to me at the back door. Meet me. Let's talk about our need for a Savior, the Lord Jesus, the one who died for us, who died that we might have eternal life and rejoice in His presence forever.
Yes. Let us